Well, thank you again for such a wonderful day. It's been a blessing, and I praise the Lord for, again, y'all's heart for missions, not just mission-minded, mission-hearted. I appreciate that, and what a blessing, and I thoroughly enjoyed the morning. I enjoyed the afternoon meal and the fellowship that we had there. And I've already gotten back into mine again. I just, amen. Anyway, took home enough or took with us enough to eat for supper. And what a blessing. Anyway, we're glad. Thank you for taking the time. I hope the questions, the answers will help you. And I hope the Lord will give you direction, and I know He will. And whatever that the Lord leads you to do, we trust God in that. And you just pray for us. You just pray for us. And if you have your Bibles, I'm gonna read from three different places, and then I'm gonna. I have a message that's got 4 points, but it's not a lengthy message. And so if you will, I'm gonna read you 2 places, and then the third one, so you don't have to keep your finger everywhere and try to find these. All right, Psalm 19 and Psalm 93. Psalm 19 and Psalm 93. And then Acts chapter 27. And if you'll stand with me, please. Psalm 19, verse 7, the Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." I'm interested in that phrase, "The testimony of the Lord is sure." Psalm 93. Verse 5, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becomes thine heart, thine house, O Lord, forever." Now let me show you these again. And I'm not going into this. I've not studied it out yet. But do you notice that 19:7, Psalm 19:7 says, "The testimony," singular, "the testimony of the Lord is sure." Psalm 93:5 says, "The testimonies," plural, "are very sure." And so, testimonies is one of the words that was used in Psalm 119 in reference to the Word of God. As you know, all of the different words are used, and each one of them has a different connotation. Well, my message wouldn't be short if we get into all of that, and even if we look at those things. But I have not even studied out, why did he use singular in one place and plural in another? And if somebody's already studied this out, I'd be interested in after services for you to give me a heads up. Might keep me from having to take as much time to study. All right? Amen. Just as long as it's scriptural, all right? I want then to read Acts 27 and verse 25. Of course, this is Paul on the ship that'll become wrecked, and they've been fasting. And 14 nights they've been fasting and drawn up and down. Verse 27 says, in Adria. But in verse 25, Paul said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." And I want to look at the thought there, "I believe God." That's my message for tonight. Father, take the message and use it to glorify your name, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I began to think about this message some time ago, and about these thoughts just from reading the Scripture, and began to look at it, I read what a commentator said about Psalm 93:5. And as I read that, he said that thy testimonies are very sure. That was the phrase that he was commenting on. And he said, meaning not the works of God, of nature and providence, which testify of his power and Godhead and other perfections of it, rather the Word of God. Testimonies are not talking about the power of God, not talking about these other things, not talking about nature and all this. It's talking about the Word of God. He said, rather the Word of God, the Scriptures of truth, the law and gospel, the one being a testimony of his will to be done by men, the other a testimony of his good will to men. And then he said, which are sure and true and to be believed, though it seem best of all to understand them of the promises of God, which testify what he will do or shall be done hereafter, and which are all yea and amen in Christ, and especially those that respect his kingdom and interest, the glory, stability, and eternality of it." What statements. That's beyond me sometimes, you know. And I'm looking at it, and you're just hearing it. This makes a difference. But he said, things that are the principal subjects of this psalm, all which promises are sure and certain, true and faithful, firm, and to be believed. And that last part is mainly what got me over into Acts 27:25, when Paul said, "I believe God." All which promises are sure and certain, true and faithful, firm, and to be believed. I believe God. Having looked at these scriptures and then looked at some comments upon them, I want to give you four subjects, if you will, in which I believe God. I could give you, if the subject is mentioned in the Bible, let's say there's 150 of them, let's say there's 2,500 of them, however many subjects are mentioned in the Word of God, I believe God in relation to that, of what God says about it. Now, there's some things in the Bible that it says, but God didn't say it. Do you understand what I mean? Sometimes it's the devil speaking. One of the ideas about understanding Scripture is find out who's speaking, find out who's being spoken to, find out the era of which it was being spoken, and what's being spoken about is just some of the thoughts. But I just condensed all of this down to the thought of I believe God, number one, I believe God in creation. Well, we have a lot of things. Of course, you know, many years ago, evolution came on the scene and Darwin and all of these and all of the different things that happened. And he just started it out as a theory and now it's being taught as fact. But I believe God in creation. What does the Bible say about creation? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe God. Not a big boom. If it was a boom, God done it. I believe God. I believe God in creation. In John 1:1, or 1 through 3, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's talking, we know, of Jesus. But it says, the same was in the beginning with God. And then it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I believe God in relation to creation. He's trustworthy. You can believe Him. I believe God. His testimony is sure. His testimonies are very sure. Not just, maybe this is what He's talking about. Here's the Word. As a whole, here's the testimony. But everything He says within this, and this is thoughts right this moment. Testimonies would be everything within that. Where He's talking about creation or where He's talking about something else. And so maybe that's why His testimony, the Word in general, is true. But everything in His Word, sometimes you read about it, the words, they are true. They're very sure. I believe God in regards to creation. Number two, I believe God in regard to destination. As I was meditating upon this scripture, I realized that I could alliterate this, not by letter, but by the T-I-O-N. Creation, and then designation. I believe God in relation to designation. Destination. I said designation, but destination. Maybe one in the same in one sense, but there's people that believe all kinds of different things. Some believes that you're like a dog. When you die, you're gone. You're forever gone. There's no there is nothing. You're dead. There's a place in the Bible that says the dead know not. But that don't mean that God said that was true about eternity. That's one of those things that I'm saying. Sometimes you got to look at Scripture. God teaches that there is a destination. In Luke 16:19, the Bible says there was a certain man, a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now we know that I've stopped before the story's over, but my point is this. Here was two men, and each one of them had a destination. One of them went to Abraham's bosom. We could loosely translate that to the eternal home. We could translate that to heaven. The other went to hell. And so it was not because one was rich and one was poor. One fared sumptuously and the other, the dogs came and licked his sores. It was not because one was sick and the other had good health. It was none of those things. It was what did they do with Jesus while they was upon the earth. But Jesus is giving them an illustration and goes to a point and lets us know about what's going on. I will throw this in. I've got a message on a divided heart. I've got another one on a fixed heart. And then I've got another one on looking at Abraham's heart and looking at David's heart. But do you know that fixed heart, that the Bible only mentions fixed three times? I saw a sign somewhere the other day said, I'm fixing to. And of course, that's a Southern thing, and I said that all the time. Somebody asked me when I went to Kansas, they said, since you're from North Carolina, do you say fixin' to? I said, well, if I'm fixin' to, I do. You know, just joking. But it's sort of a slang, fixin'. But fixed, my heart is fixed. I look in the scriptures in the New Testament. There's only one time that the word fixed is used, and that's here in that gulf that was fixed between the two destinations. Those that are there cannot come out. Those that are here cannot go in. And so that's the picture of fixed. It is sealed. It is settled. There is no changing. It is there. And the psalmist said, my heart is fixed. We need our heart fixed upon the Lord. And we too need our heart fixed sometimes in another little term. But I look at this and I find there's only two destinations. Had a plumber in Larned that come to the house to help us with the situation. And he told me that he was Catholic. And he said, he knew I was a preacher. And he said, can I ask you a question? And I said, yes, sir. He said, where does the Catholics, or the church, I believe he said, he said, where does the church get purgatory from in the Bible? No, excuse me. He said, where is purgatory mentioned in the Bible? And I said, it's not. And I told him, I said, this was something that the Catholic started many years after the Bible was written. And anyway, I had the privilege to go on and talk to him. I believe the Bible. I believe God. I believe that there's two destinations. You can't go to both. You can only go to one. And whichever you choose, it is eternal. And I mean, that's just as plain and simple. And I believe the Bible is that plain and simple in relation to our destination. I believe God. I believe God not only in relation to creation and not only in relation to destination, but I believe God in relation to condemnation. If you have not believed, you're already condemned. I don't want you to raise your hand, but is there anyone here tonight that is unsaved? Answer that for yourself. If you're unsaved, you're condemned. I am not condemning you. You say I don't go to church because they condemn me. No, they don't have to. You're already. You condemned yourself by not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you're under God's condemnation if you have not and if you do not trust Him. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And so I find this in the scriptures that a person who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has never come to the time that they recognize that they are lost and undone without God, that they have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and they have not called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, they're condemned and their destination is already sure unless they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and become saved. So that's, I believe God in relation to condemnation. And then number four, I believe God, I told you it wouldn't be long. I believe God in relation to of what He says about salvation. And about salvation, Romans 10:8 begins by saying, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I was pastor in Vision Baptist Church, we had our midweek service on Tuesday night. They still do. We started that church in 1979, and we were in 2 or 3 years, maybe, in, and we had purchased a van, and we picked up some people from they called it Wilkes Towers. It was a place for older folk to live, you know, and apartments. An old hotel had been converted in North Wilkesboro into these apartments, and a lady who could not talk, she was in her 60s then, a lady who could not talk, who had never learned sign language, and she could make sounds, she could grunt, and I don't mean that disrespectful, but she loved the Lord, and she got this little girl who was, I believe, 12 years old. She might have been 11, but her name was Lisa West. And she got her and she rode the church van in and began to come to church. She come every service. By the way, that lady that couldn't talk, we had a Bible school 1 year, and we had at the end of the time, we had 130 people. I got these little stickers from the Christian bookstore. Just a little paper sticker, and it said, I brought one. And I got them for the kids, but the adults got involved in it. And so everyone, every night, we'd see how many stickers. Guess who won the main prize for the week? That lady that could not talk. She had brought more people to church than every other person in the church. And she brought this girl. This girl was not from a Christian home. And anyway, make a long story short, one Wednesday evening, I'd gotten in from work and the phone rang and I answered it. And she said, Plato, they called me by my first name back in the mountains there in the pasture. Sometimes it would be Brother Plato, but a lot of times it'd just be Plato. And so it took a long time to teach them how to address a pastor. And anyway, she said, Plato, could you come to my house and tell me how to be saved? And so I went over there. I don't remember why, but for some reason I did ask her if her parents was home, and they were. And so I went home. I mean, went to her house. I talked with her dad, and I talked with her. And I went through the plan of salvation again with her. This was her question. How will I know? How will I know when I'm saved? If I pray and ask God to forgive me, how will I know? How will I know? I said, Lisa, let's leave that alone for right now. What you need to do is trust Christ as your personal Savior. You're lost. You've admitted you're lost. You know that you're lost. You need to be saved. And she said, I know I do. And I said, why don't we just kneel right here together in the living room and you pray and ask God to forgive you. And her dad kept saying, and he called her Melissa. Her name was Melissa, but he's pronounced it Melissa. And he kept saying, Melissa, are you sure you want to do this? You're young. Are you sure you want to do this now? And all of that. And she never answered him. And I just ignored him. And I mean, I was not disrespectful, but I didn't answer him either. And so she kept saying, how will I know? And we got down on our knees and prayed. I began to pray, and then I said, Lisa, now you pray. And you tell God what you need. And she prayed, told God that she knew she had sinned. She was a lost sinner. She needed to be saved. And asked him to forgive her of her sin. And immediately, when she asked God to forgive her of her sins, it's just like her face relaxed into a big smile, just the most peaceful face, I believe, honestly, that I ever looked at. I remember that in my mind this moment. And she just settled back. She was on her knees. And she settled back on her, I call it her haunches. She just settled back there on her heels, just with a big smile. And I just waited there for a moment. And then I said, Lisa, do I now have to tell you how you'll know when you get saved? And she said, no. And can I tell you something? She's my daughter-in-law today. She's given me 3 beautiful grandchildren. She gave me my first grandchild. She's the wife of my youngest son, Barry. And praise God for it. But I didn't tell it because that she's my daughter-in-law. I told it because she believed God for salvation. And she's saved today, or she says she is, because of that. And her life shows that she's saved. I believe God in regards to salvation. When I called upon the Lord, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is the part that I remember. I'd made several professions. I'd been baptized more than once. See, my dad was a rough man. Got saved when I was 11 years old. He was 50. His life changed so much it caused me to want what he had. And I began to try to get saved at 11 years old. And as I did so, I'd think I was saved. I'd done everything they told me to do. But I just didn't have peace. But when I finally came to it, I said, Lord, if you don't save me, I was beginning to think maybe I couldn't get saved. I said, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm going to hell. And that's when that peace flooded my soul. I know you say that's not a sinner's prayer. Yes, it was. I was the sinner. You don't find one scripture where the person that got saved that the Bible tells us about is any cookie cutter thing. You find it as an individual thing. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you believe God? And then you that are saved, do you really believe God? Do you have confidence in Him? Paul said, I believe God, and so do I. And I know many of you do, but I'm gonna close right here and turn the service to your pastor to close as the Lord leads him. Father, honor your name, use the message, be glorified. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your testimonies. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your words. Thank you, Lord, that we have it, and it's in our heart today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, preacher.